Yes, hello. I was wondering if you could play that song again.
Which one, man?
The one that goes beep, boo, boo, bop, boo, boo, beep.
No, man, you're thinking of beep, boo, boo, bop, boo, boo, bop.
Beep, boo, 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 bop. Beep, boo, boo, bop. Boo, boo, beep, bop. Not beep, boo, boo, beep. Bop. Beep. Boo, boo, bop.
I don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to pass away. I've been
Hello, humans, and welcome to Paros Audio Face. We're an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan. This is a bonus episode.
It's a bonus episode about B2B. She is, I don't know, a pretty well-known artist. I was going to say up-and-coming, but now she's started to cross over that mark.
I would say up-and-coming, but like, yeah. I'd say up-and-coming artist, definitely about to cross that mark of being like really successful in music.
For
but
sure.
Like, she has got a really... really cool story, I want to say. That is like a perfect thing for Audio Face to describe, and I think the thing we can do more of is like, because we've done these retrospective episodes on Kendrick Lamar, on Gorillaz, on Disclosure, 1975. We've done them about like all
Beck
these bands
all
that
others,
have
yeah.
kind of been around for a little bit, but now we get to do one about an artist who's like just about to blow up.
Exactly. So she's an artist.
I'm being. I know our joke on Audio Face, but I'm being clear for the purposes of people listening.
Yes. B-doo-doo-bee. There we go.
B-ba-doo-bee.
Yeah, that was me joking.
Lord.
That was me joking.
She was born in...
You're going to do this one. Thank you.
She was born in the city of Iloilo in the Philippines. It's like a relatively major city. She moved with her parents to London at the age of 3. So she was born in the year 2000. Definitely firmly Gen Z new. And... her musical influences are kind of influenced by like where she grew up and like how she lived her life. So a little bit of Pinoy, which is Filipino pop music. A lot of, you know, the powerhouse of London and being in England altogether and being in that
just how much,
like the epicenter of Europe, of English language music, all that stuff really kind of coming together in a melting pot. But Biba Doobie herself seemed to kind of do what I think a lot of people, if you... were a musical kind of person and went to a middle school any sort of time, you might remember like playing violin or cello, like one of those string instruments. Biba Doobie played violin. Also went more towards guitar. And at least, of course, the Biba Doobie story isn't like, close the book, it's over yet. But it seems like she really grabbed onto guitar a lot and really liked that because she's started finding a lot of influences in indie music, kind of like British.
British indie, you have a lot of grunge and some stuff. I mean, her first thing was, she had a single called Coffee, which she released on YouTube in 2017, and it started to slowly blow up over the course of about 6 months or so.
You make me feel nice. The green in your eyes makes me feel warm inside.
And it's just an acoustic song. It's like pretty lo-fi, like you can't really hear it too much.
Yeah, you can even like you can hear the like lo-fi qualityness of it. It's kind of muffled with her voice and the acoustic nature, but like, you know, it's like someone's first song that they're working on, like one of their first
just
ones.
Like early recording into it, and it's just, but you could already hear the talent in her because her voice is gorgeous, and she was only what, 16, 17 when she recorded it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when she recorded it, but I know she released it in 2017. And you could already hear the lyrics, everything. It's just her strumming a guitar, doing it, and you're like, wow, okay, that's a really good song. The lyrics are great. And Dirty Hit, the record label of the 1975, the Japanese House, bunch of other bands that we like.
No Rome.
No Rome, Phoebe Bridges. They know, like, they got track of her, and they signed her in 2018 in, like, spring of 2018 or so, and then that's when she started to get a little bit more notoriety, because Dirty Hit's, you know, pretty good label, and they usually find really good artists that we've talked about, Pale Waves, a bunch of others, and that's the first one I heard of her was when Dirty Hit talked about her. I was like, oh, let me hear this, and I was like, I think I came across it at some point randomly. I was like, I think I've heard this song before, but then she released some other stuff quickly after that, and that's when,
and for those who heard Coffee and they're like, that sounds vaguely familiar. It'll be important later. We'll get there.
Yes, we'll get to that. We like to go in chronological order on Audioface. But she released a EP, Lice, in 2018, right after when she signed with them. And that's when you started to get to hear a little bit more of her sound. But it's all acoustic, and it's still like a little lo-fi still. But now it's just a little bit, a couple more songs. You have decent stuff like Spacing Out. Short little songs, a little bit of experimentation, like a minute, 2 minutes for the songs, and just like little demos, little things that started to get up for like her first kind of EP. But you could start to hear a little bit more of her voice, a little bit more clear, and it's like, okay, wow, she has a lot of talent.
Yeah, I definitely say these are demos for sure. Like, yeah, these are like pretty like complete ideas, but like they haven't gone through the whole sense of, they haven't gone through the processing, the mixing, the mastering that usually songs do.
Exactly.
It's just like, I had this idea, I had this thought, I've rehearsed it a bunch of times, so it sounds good when I record it, but here it is. And I think that's a really good way to kind of, you know, hear all types of music at all types of forms when it's complete. A lot of times we get albums from artists, we mentioned Kendrick Lamar earlier, but Tori Moore comes to mind, where like he'll release a full album of unfinished songs.
Yeah, it's true.
And demos and things that are in different levels of mastering. And I think that's good to see like the inside of an artist's creative process.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Especially it tends to be the artists who are really good at their craft and confident with their craft to release their demos publicly as well.
Yeah, so, and then her first true EP was Patched Up, which came out in late 2018, I believe, like it's December. It was 7 songs, 25 minutes long, and that was like the first full produced thing from Dirty Hit, and it's mainly acoustic still, yeah. Which...
A year out from Coffee.
Yeah, a year out from Coffee. She signed, does it up, and then she's starting to play shows here or there. She started to do a little bit of things here or there, small gigs, little things to kind of get out. I mean, she's still a teenager at that point, so she's still really young. And Tired was like a really good song in it because it had... like decent production in it, the lyrics in it were really solid, and I remember hearing that song, I'm like, wow, this is really good. It's that indie genre of like Zeds, because a lot of Zeds were interesting, and a lot of young people were creating an indie music, because some were going into that grunge direction. A lot of them were doing more instrumentation stuff just themselves. And some of the lyrics are a little lackluster, some of them are okay, but when I heard hers, I'm like, wow, this is extremely genuine, coming from the heart, and you can tell she's already like starting to do her craft as an up-and-coming artist, and it's good.
And you can tell with her there's some like musical thought put into it. Mm-hmm. You made an excellent point that you're gonna see, I mean, we've started to see, we'll continue to see, that a lot of artists who grew up and came of age in this era, similar to us, have a lot of influences in 90s grunge and aughts, kind of like emo, alternative rock
because,
kind of things. And that,
yeah,
that comes out in the later music.
Yeah, If You Want To is a song that also was started to blow up from that album that was kind of like 90s-ish Britpop style. Crossing the line of Britpop and grunge and going into it, and I was like, wow, okay, this almost sounds like early Blur, or, you know, insert any of your Britpop bands in here, and it's like, but it's genuine, and it's her making it herself and whatnot, and then getting some other people to help to play the instruments that she needs. And that was another song I heard, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is good. And that was If You Want To is the first one I started to hear on like playlists and stuff. Because, for example, I'd listen to 1975 and that song would pop up on the playlist. It's like, oh wow, okay, B2B is starting to make a little bit more head waves and stuff, and now people are getting an actual sense of who she is.
The labels are doing the thing the labels are supposed to do.
Exactly.
Which is like help and the grease the skids for an artist to really succeed in the
and space. Dirty Hit does that. Dirty Hit, I think, is one of the very few labels that's actually pretty decent for their artists. After that, then in 2019, in like springtime, I know she started to do some more shows and stuff, started to do little things here or there. But she released another EP, Love Worm. And this was the first EP I heard where I'm like, yeah, she's good. She's a genuinely good artist. Because the other one was like, okay, let me see what she can do. But it sort of disappeared. And I'm like, wow, that's an awesome track. It's like it's just slow building up. The drums, the production of it's great. The lyrics in it are genuine. They're good, and it's good indie music that isn't cliche. Doesn't hit any of the things, but it doesn't do any of the things I don't necessarily like in indie, but it hits all the marks that you want in indie as well.
Yeah, indie of this era is mostly done by like released in 2019 is, and I'd say now too, because we're only in 2020, a year later, but indie's mostly done by millennials or like 35 plus folks who have been in the game for a while. It's got a particular sound, and like, it's indie was fine, but it was very stagnant until around 2017, when of course Audioface had our record-breaking Rock is Dead conversation, which switched the trajectory of music for the rest of the world. But like, no, we had that moment where we were like, okay, rock is sort of dying. Indie's over here, and that's kind of boring. Now's a perfect opportunity for some artists, and you mentioned Biba Doobie in this episode specifically, some artists to really kind of take the bull by the horns
like
there.
Japanese and transform House, Biba Doobie, and a bunch of others that now they're starting to come up almost together in that regard. And some are big age gaps and stuff too. It's interesting to hear. But Love Worm is an amazing EP. 1990 was good. Apple Cider was like that throwback song of like 90s, and it was awesome. I really liked it, where it's just the guitar work is beautiful. It was like really excited me for indie, which hadn't excited me as a genre for a long time, really. There wasn't that many. There were decent artists and stuff, but I felt like it was dying out in 2018, especially because you had a lot of like bedroom pop artists and stuff making stuff, but it just felt super stagnant. There's a lot of controversy and other issues going on with some artists. I mean, my favorite still Dive, but then they also started to range and do other projects and stuff as well. But that song, Apple Cider, I'm like, wow, okay, maybe she's going to, one of the ones that's going to start bringing it back. And it was a very good EP overall with Love Worm.
That was definitely a marked improvement in her production as well.
Oh, for sure.
Drums, you start to get decent mics. You start to get everything kind of coming together. It's like, no offense to Biba Doobie, because like you're starting out like there, but like now is the time where like you're supposed to start to see that, oh, production is happening here, mastering is happening here, mixing is happening
all
here,
stuff.
And you're getting that, so that's good.
And then Space Cadet, which we reviewed on Audioface.
Yes.
And one of my favorite indie EPs to come out in 5-6 years, really. It's beautiful. My favorite song is She Plays Bass. That song was one of my most listened to songs in 2019. It is an amazing indie alternative rock song that gave me hope for the genre. It's just, it hits everything. It is produced perfectly, the lyrics, everything. Amazing song. And that was one of my good friends, Justin. That was a song I got him into. And he's like, holy shit, Biba Doobie is really good, because he loves this genre as well. And we share playlists and stuff, different music. And when we were supposed to see 1975 this year for the Notes tour, which was going to, I don't know how long that list was going to be, but anyways, she was supposed to open up for the concert, but obviously, you know, COVID had to happen. but we were really excited to see because we wanted to see how she sounded live. And that was one thing I was wanted to report on Audioface to see how good her live stuff is, because I've heard from different people that she's actually pretty solid live. Because this was Space Cadet, she started to tour with the 1975 and started to open up these bigger venues and stuff. And it's huge for an artist. She was 19 at the time of just wow of going up on stage
and opening the O2 Arena, supporting that's like London's Madison Square Garden.
It's huge.
Supporting the O2 1975,
And the 1975 at O2 sells out. Like they're. And those people are out in full force and stuff. So that's a huge thing to get on a ticket of. And she deserved it in every regard.
While we're talking about she plays bass, there's like a Biba Doobie. There's a couple Biba Doobie anecdotes that I want to throw in here.
No, for sure. Really have at it.
So a fun thing about Biba Doobie as a person, not like relevant to her, but what's she doing? Well, what's it like with her? Like, what was she like as a kid growing up in school and stuff?
Goes.
You know, she's like a usual sort of like student, but like most like music-ish students.
Art kids.
Yeah, art kids. They're like fine and generally smart, but like they're not the ones who are behaving themselves. They're the ones acting out who'd rather be doing like, you know, making music or like literally anything else other than sitting in classes studying for A-levels. So Biba Doobie was expelled from her equivalent of high school, basically. One of the main things, just like smoking in the bathroom with her friends.
That's hilarious.
But, like it just kind of shows that like Biba Doobie is like, you know, a kid, like just it's just amazing that she's like having this pop star life and just be like doing the right things with it and like not going too mental off of it. But she's just like a kid having a really good time. When specifically about she plays bass, she actually got to meet Robert Smith from The Cure. After the NME Awards, I believe in 2019.
She won an award at the NME Awards. I'm pretty sure for like up and coming artists or something like that.
According to Dazed magazine, apparently Biba Doobie was drunk and shouted at Robert Smith saying, "You're a fucking legend," and basically, she plays bass as a Cure ripoff. I mean, like, you definitely see the Cure, influences in there, but I think even Biba Doobie's selling this off a bit too short, because it's a very good, original sounding, like, well-produced song. It's like, it's a nice little chunk of indie bliss, and the same thing I was talking about with, like, indie in the late 2010s had a really good opportunity to be like taken over by some of the vestiges of rock music and turned into something energetic and cool. Yep. She plays bass along with I Wish I Was Stephen Loveman. I wish I was Stephen Loveman. So wanted change, no one forced it. My hair is blue, it's pretty obvious that I kinda like it. There's other songs on that album, but like Space Cadet in general is like my gold standard example for like what I would point to and say, this is what indie can be and is probably going to look more like in the future. Mm-hmm. God bless. Indie, of course, is going to be one of the most like wide-ranging genres you have.
Yeah, because there's so,
there's so much that covers under it, and it ends up being like R&B, like we talk about R&B being just like the catch-all for stuff that you don't know how to categorize.
I basically call it the hipster category, because it's the catch-all for all hipsters who just... like they like that style of music. I mean, I love it, so yeah. I can't talk. but that's like this basically just a genre that people are like, I don't know what to do with this. It's not quite alternative rock. It's not quite EDM-y. So we're just gonna put it into this genre. Cause like, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that we like, but it was starting to get a little stagnant and stuff within. People were starting to copy one another and whatnot. But anyways.
So Biba Doobie's doing really well. She's released Space Cadet and like we said, she's got an upcoming album coming up. And so it seems like Biba Doobie's on this really nice track to be one of these like sleeper sort of success stories. Mm-hmm. And then TikTok
TikTok, where she just explodes overnight because...
So you
can explain it.
I can sort of. So like, TikTok for the semi-uninitiated, it's a very music-based platform. And instead of like retweeting or resharing images or posts or text, a lot of times you sort of reshare sound. You take the sound from another video, you put it into your own, and you can duet with someone, so you can like sing with someone else or perform with someone else, or you use that sound to remix something. There's one of my favorite sounds on TikTok really fast is someone learning that cats mirror people. So if you put a laptop in front of a cat, the cat will start like trying to use the keyboard. And it's just this girl going, "Look at my little businessman!" And it's just like a bunch of, like the meme is just a bunch of cats in front of computers, like looking hard working. And so like, it's fun in that way. A remix of... or like a reworking of, okay, let's say a song called Deathbed by Pow Fu, who's a different sort of like shoegaze, indie, up-and-coming kind of artist. Signed to Columbia, so not that small. Made a song that heavily samples Coffee from Biba Doobie. The parentheses version of the song is Coffee in Your Head. That song blew the hell up on TikTok.
I don't wanna fall asleep, I don't wanna pass away. I've been thinking of our future, cause I'll never see those days. I don't know why this has happened, but I probably deserve it. I tried to do my best, but you know that I'm not perfect. I've been praying for forgiveness, you've been praying for my health. When I leave this earth, hoping you'll find someone else. Cause yeah, we still
the same way that like Old Town Road and a number of other songs that gained TikTok famous really did. And all of a sudden Biba Doobie overnight went from like maybe sub a million listeners on Spotify to maybe, nearly 18 and a half million
and then
listeners.
She got up to nearly 50 million a month, where she was like third in the entire world. I'm like, I remember because I was listening to her stuff, I was listening, she plays bass, and I like looked at her, I was like, oh okay, let me see how, I'm like, I'm interested in how many monthly listeners she has, and it was like 55 million. I'm like
Ariana Grande numbers.
I'm like, that's Drake numbers. I go, is there a glitch in my app? And then I saw, then there was that song was up there. I'm like, what the fuck is this song? Because, you know, Old Man Sean, I don't TikTok. I don't know that shit. I'm just over here, you know, being Henry Rollins, just sitting up by myself, just writing for 4 hours, listening to music all day. And I'm like, wait, when did this thing come out? And then I looked at it. I'm like, this has like 400 million listens or something stupid. I'm like, okay, this is random. What happened? And then my girlfriend told me, oh, this is a TikTok song. I go, that makes sense. Shit, this is going to be interesting to see what happens with her, because that exploded out of nowhere, because she's such a small indie artist that I'm like, the only people I knew who knew it were me, you, and Justin. That's, no, I don't, no one else who knew who B2B is, unless you're really into like the 1975 or just indie music in general, then you might know her. But yeah, then just out of nowhere. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this newest release. Some of the singles I've heard, I do enjoy. I really reviewed one of them on Audioface. I'm not going to talk about it until her album comes out, so...
Which is fair, yeah.
But yeah, from like just being a small little thing, just exploding up overnight, it's interesting to see what gone on with her, to see what she thought of it and everything, and see how she would start with it. Because also it's during the pandemic as well, so it's not like you can go out really or do too much, you know, do press for releases and all that other stuff. You can't really do much.
You can, I mean, yeah, well, the pandemic, can, like, you can do press for sure, but I think that's a good point. It helps because in lieu of being able to do like an amazing concert tour with the 1975 on their large thing, you got a TikTok song that blew up right before the lead up to your album. I mean, sure, the Bean Count is a dirty hit. Are pretty happy about that. But yeah, it seems so far that, like, we're continuing on this Biba Doobie track. We're like, she's doing her own thing. She's continuing to focus on the music and on the sound of the music. It continues to improve. And she's
like indie, like
indie Billie Eilish.
Damn it, I was gonna fucking say that.
I knew you were
because,
gonna say that.
Because, I remember Tom York, based god of music himself, I was like to bow down. Remember he said about Billie Eilish that I think also applies to B2B a lot, is he said that she's doing whatever the fuck she wants and no one's going to stop her. And I think B2B is in that same realm. She's going to do whatever she wants. And it's good because she's doing her own life, doing her own thing. She makes fun of herself too, because she's like, my hair is blue, it's pretty ugly, and she'll change it all the time and does these other little things. I wish I was, Stephen Malkmus was a pretty on-the-nose song, saying, I wish I was someone else, like, I wish I grew up in a different genre or whatever, this or that. But it's interesting to hear that, because it makes damn good music.
Yeah.
So, rarely, I mean, we've, just go listen to her stuff if you haven't heard of her yet. She has a wide discography, a bunch of other things, and she's a really cool person, so, yeah.
And,
I hope her album's good.
Yeah, we do these music recommendations episode to give you kind of like an overview of their discography, so like you can take this 25 minutes and change and then go listen to their discography and really get hyped about it and enjoy it. So in about a week and a half from the time we drop this podcast, or a little bit later, you can listen to Fake It Flowers, which will be Biba Doobie's official first long play
first
album
LP.
Release.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be this podcast if we weren't going to review it. So we'll be reviewing that on, it looks like, Audioface episode 162. So the artist names are in the titles. If I get that wrong, we have to move things around, but that's probably going to be it. Check it out for the review in a future episode of Audioface. And make sure you subscribe to Audioface wherever you are watching, whether it's on YouTube. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss our new videos we release just about every single weekday. Make sure if you're listening to the podcast that you're subscribed or following or whatever you do in the podcast app of your choice, so you get new episodes when we mm-hmm. post them, so you don't miss the pretty much best music review show weekly that is just on the internet right now. And yeah, make sure you follow SW Suarez on Twitter and Instagram, so you can probably get his hot takes about Beeby Doobie's album when it first drops, or just in general if you trust you or not to follow him. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. The entire show can be found on both social media platforms at AudioFacePod. And until next time, stay off of TikTok.